This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, welcome to the Underground. All right, let me put something on the board tonight. Just see how many times I can put this on the board, you know, before people are throwing things at me. I'm going to do it, Kaylin. I'm going to do it. All right, so check this out. This represents your physical body, right? This circle, right? In our body, we have some positive things about us. I'm going to put those on here, little positives. I'm not going to put a lot of positives. I'll put like three. You know, maybe you have like, you're really resilient. You know, you just have this bounce back ability, or maybe you have a strong work ethic, you know, or maybe someone invested some time in your life and you developed this positive outlook on, you know, mentors or whatever. But you also have negatives, right? I'm going to put that on here. I'm going to put these really big. You have some negatives. Maybe you have an addiction that's really getting you. Maybe you have some really bad habits. Maybe you have some traumas or belief systems or wounds that still reside within you, you know. So I'm going to put, you know, one more, right? So there we go. Now, originally, you know, we think about the creation of Adam and Eve, and you can do some studying on this. A lot of scholars believe, with good reason, that when Adam and Eve were created, they were beings of light, like they were clothed with the presence of God. The light of God resided on them and within them. And the idea is that when sin entered, you know, God left, and then they were filled with darkness. Like their source was cut off. They were then separated from this source that they had operated in. And so Adam and Eve then had children that were also born with the same condition, without the light. It's like if you had parents that were HIV positive, happens all the time, and then they have children that are also HIV positive. It's a very similar kind of thing where Adam and Eve had children, they were born with this virus, and then their children were born with this virus. One of the number one symptoms of this sin virus is selfishness. Self-preservation at all costs. Like, that is a huge symptom of the sin virus. I definitely have it. Symptoms all over my life that I was born selfish. So this thing was passed all the way down. My great-grandparents had it. My grandparents had it. My parents had it. And then, boom, I had it. And my little Japanese mom had it, too. But see, God's just crazy about you. He's crazy about me. Loves us dearly. You are still the crown jewel of God's creation, humanity. God is just wild about you. And so we have to come into an experience or a relationship with what we call the great physician. God has provided all we need. He has provided to us the antidote for this virus we have. He's provided everything necessary for us to recover from selfishness. What did Jesus say when he was confronted with who he was hanging out with? He said, it's the sick that need a doctor, right? That's what he said. So he came to be our great physician. What would be better for you, to be drugged in front of a judge or a great physician that loves you? See, I don't know about you, I didn't need a judge. You know, I had plenty of those in my life. I needed a great physician that knew my ailments and my problems and how to heal me. And so the idea here is to realize and admit I have the condition. You know, you ever try to treat someone and they don't believe they have what it is you're trying to treat? You know, realize that you have the condition, and then receive that healing that God offers for our condition. When you do that, when you receive that life, when you open your heart and receive it, a really amazing thing happens. You have then crossed over from death to life. He gives you but you are actually born again. You're actually born again. Who is the parent of this new person? Right? God. You are born not from your earthly parents. You are born from above. Like a spiritual birth happens right here. It's called a spiritual awakening. This is called the new man, the new creation, the inward man, the new man. We have this thing down in the States. I don't know if you guys know about it. It's called a mall. Sorry. There are these big, big buildings with lots of stores. They have food courts. Really, they have all these shopping places in there, clothes, you know, Chick-fil-A. Yeah, thank you. But when you first go into these malls, okay, they have this little area when you walk up to, it's like this little cube, and it has a map of the mall, and then it has an arrow, and it says, you are here, okay? So I'm telling you tonight, I want to tell you where you are, who you are, in this whole thing here called your body and your person, you, who you really are right here. That's some really good news, guys. That's some really good news. So let me show you. For once you were full of darkness. Okay, so you can look at this diagram. Once you were full of darkness, it says, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. It says, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Over here in Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that from this glorious, unlimited resource, telling you a little bit about this unlimited resource, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. It's really hard to stop reading. Ephesians just blows my mind. If you hang out with me at all, I'm always going to find a reason to open to Ephesians. And just like Pastor Derek was just saying in Romans 8:15 says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him what? Abba. The most endearing term for Father. Check it out. His Spirit joins with ours to affirm we're God's children. And again, it's really hard to stop reading this. Okay, so you can see what's happened to us. I said this last week, that you now, in your new identity, you have been unplugged now from sin as a life source. In this new place in my life, when I became born again, I will never, ever, ever get life from sin and selfishness again, ever. He's now training me and teaching me where to get my life from. I will now get my life from God, which is a very different way of thinking, very different way of living. So you might say, okay, Stan, this stuff sounds great. What kind of experience would I maybe have to have for me to know that this is true about me, right? And there may be a little problem with that, because God demonstrated this. His demonstration of this reality happened 2,000 years ago. He was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. And so maybe if I could produce a document in black and white stating that this is true of you, maybe then would you believe it, right? And so then I would show you this. Like, I just read it, it's in black and white. It's just chock full of the good news of all that God has done for you. It states the reality of this, not necessarily the experience or the feelings of it, but the reality of it. How would you like it if you got pulled over by a police officer and you pulled out your license and he said, you know, I just don't feel that this is true, you know? That'd be really weird, wouldn't it? Okay. So I'm not really talking about my lofty opinion of you. I'm not talking about your opinion of you. I'm not talking about the court system's opinion of you. I'm not talking about your ex's opinion of you or your boss's opinion. I'm talking about God's opinion of you. This was his idea, guys. This was his idea. This is what he says is true. Okay? All right, how about this? Okay? Really quiet in here tonight. When it's really quiet like that, like this, it means that we're all really serious about discipleship. Okay, here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. Okay, it's producing something: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's pretty profound, guys. You know, I remember one night when my wife and I began our recovery, and it was really, really rough, super tough stuff. I mean, we were just on the edges of, is it even possible? What is recovery? Could it happen? And I remember one night, we're doing what we normally did, and we're rock and rolling in this little cabin, and we're partying, and we're throwing things about, and we're causing a big ruckus. And I remember, you know, I don't want to trigger anybody tonight, but, you know, I was pouring her another glass of whiskey, and I'm handing it to her in the middle of all this madness and music and smoking. And I remember her going to grab this thing, and she's just all wobbly, slobbering. And this is, I remember the first time this happened to me, when this thing came alive and said, you know, the reality hit me. Like, I love her. Like, I love this person. I love my wife. Anyone that knows our relationship, I adore my wife. I adore her. She is my everything. I can just look at her in the kitchen doing her little thing, and I just melt. Like, oh, look at her little frame in there doing dishes. Her little body. I adore my wife. It's sickening, I know. I love her so much. And I remember realizing, dude, what are you doing? That you're poisoning this beautiful person. You adore her. You love her. What are you doing? I just felt horrible. I mean, I felt horrible. I felt so horrible, I drank it. No, just kidding. And I remember thinking about this. What's going on here? What's happening? Like, who's stopping the party train? Something's going on here. Whoa, right? I remember driving down the road, and it's a rainy day, and there's a big mud puddle on the side of the road, and I saw a bicyclist. And dude looked like he was struggling, and for some weird reason, no split-second decision, I just hit that puddle anyway. Poof, right on him. And you know what? Crushing inside. Just, what are you doing? That guy's probably not having a good day now. I mean, as it was, now look at, you just heaped on him more pain, you know, more being spit on, more you don't matter. Whatever this guy is going through, I felt a deep sense of where he must be. And it hurt deeply. This is the Holy Spirit producing this stuff we're talking about here. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Like, almost pulled the car over and was like, whoa, like, this love for this person. I remember us thinking about the gifts and abilities maybe we had and how we're always hiding in our own selfishness. We're all worried about us. You know, I spent most of my life either getting money to turn into drugs, arranging the drugs, chasing down the drugs, then doing the drugs, then being on the drugs, then coming down from the drugs, and around we go. That's how I spent most of my life. Who am I thinking about? Right? I'm thinking about me, and what am I not thinking about? I'm not thinking about the whole rest of life, which is a big part of what I was running from. So all this stuff started happening. Now, we have to understand this too, that the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and I say that, but understand this first. Brothers and sisters tonight, understand this first. He is first these things toward you because he is God, and this is who he is. And hear that tonight. Before I can produce that outwardly, I need it first. And he does that. So what is he towards me? He is towards you first, love. Right? This is what he is towards you. What else is he towards you? Joy. Joy is a confident, joyful expectation about your future. He is joyous over you, towards you. He has joy. That you have a future and he has it. He is peaceful towards me, patient towards me, kind towards me, and the fruit goes on and on. And it is a fruit, it's not fruits, plural. So we begin to hear from God in this place. He doesn't really want to talk to this guy. He's talking to you from here, from this place of being loved, from this place of being secure, from this place of being significant. He's talking to me here. And a lot of people say to me and my wife that they don't hear God. And people struggle with that. But how about first consider all the ways you already are hearing from God, even right now, or even already have heard from God. Number one, do you remember how you came to God in the first place? How you came to know him? Okay, I would say that was God talking to you. Would you not say that was God talking to you? How about if you have any highlights in your Bible at all, I would say that's God talking to you. I would say that that's what that is. How about through a pastor or a teacher, maybe someone from the underground, perhaps? This morning's sermon was so awesome. Pastor Derek did an amazing job. I would say that was God speaking to us through our pastor this morning. How about through music? Have you ever heard a song and the words come together and you're like, that is what I need right now? Anybody? Okay, I'm going to say that that is God speaking to you. How about you ever on your way somewhere or doing something, making breakfast, and you just feel a prompt that you need to go see someone? Or maybe you need to pray for someone. Someone just comes to your mind. Okay, I would say that's God speaking to you. So what I'm saying is when people say, you know, I don't really hear from God, and we back up and go through some of this, I find that God speaks to them a lot, quite a bit. And I think to celebrate that stuff. And usually to begin with saying, God, number one, thank you for talking to me. Thank you that you do speak to me. Thank you that you speak to me all the time. That is a great start in hearing God, is step out in faith and begin. So, okay, I said this a couple weeks ago or whatever, but where is Jesus in this picture? Here? Okay, where are you? Your true identity. See, this is why we can say, I operate in Jesus' name. Name means identity. I can operate in his identity. Why? Where's Jesus? Here. Where am I at? I'm here. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that those who have joined themselves to the Lord are one spirit with him. You become one spirit with him. That's pretty astonishing. I like to think of it like if you took a blue ball of clay, which represents you, and then a red one, and then you bam them together and started working on them. And after hours and hours of just kneading them together, they become, what color would that produce? Purple. That would be royalty. See, where's Jesus? He's here. Where are you? He's here. You've become something brand new that's never been before, ever on this planet. You and him have become one. That's amazing. I think that's amazing. We see this with Adam, you know. It's interesting. Okay, so Adam's walking around. I don't have someone compatible with me. I don't have a mate. So what does God do? He puts him in a deep sleep. If you study that, basically he kills Adam. He puts him down, right? Cuts a big chunk of him out. Constitutes, like Eve, shapes Eve out of that piece that's come out of Adam. And then raises them both back up. And Adam says, that's bone of my bones. That's flesh of my flesh. That's me. That's compatible with me. Me and her are one. So Jesus, he's the second Adam. God puts him down. He dies. And out of his wounded side, takes a piece of him, shapes me, shapes you, raises us both up. We've both been raised with Christ. And what does Jesus say when he sees you? That's bone of my bones. That's flesh of my flesh. That's me. He has made you compatible with Jesus. Amazing. That's astonishing. That gets mind-blowing to me. You know, you hear that all the time, that he became what we are so we could become what he is. But trying to get our minds around it is hard. And that's why if you are this purple ball of clay, this brand new creation that's one with Christ, that's why Romans 6 says, shall I now continue in sin? Shall I just go on living the old way? And he says, how can you? Like, that's the answer. How can you? Look what you have become. You've become something so radically different. You have become superhuman. I could say that. I'm superhuman tonight, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, Stanborn, superhuman. Thank you. Didn't used to be superhuman. Now I'm superhuman. Not superhuman. Superhuman. Not. Now I am. Right? This is a pretty cool thing. That's how I spend my time at my house. I'm like, not. Now I am. Not. Now I am. They're like, get out of the way. You are annoying. Let me show you this. Okay. He has raised us from the dead, along with Christ, seated us with him in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. You're united with Christ Jesus. Let me show you something. Again, I've put this on the board before. I just want to make sure we get this before I move on. This cries out what? Abba? Father, right? I have a father. Who's my brother now? Jesus, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I've been brought into the family of God. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I can do all things in Christ. Greater is he that is in me. You see, this is crazy stuff, guys. This is deep spiritual stuff, like as far as my mind goes. So, again, you're going to die the day that Jesus dies. Is Jesus going to die? No. Oh, that's good news. That means you're not going to die. You're going to be unloved by the Father the day that Jesus is unloved by the Father. Oh, he's not going to be unloved by the Father? That's really good news. Because that means I'm not going to be unloved by the Father. And that should make us all cry out and worship. Holy, holy, holy. Could you guys say it once? Holy, holy, holy. Have you guys ever said that before? Let's say it one more time and watch where you fit in. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. I stood there in my bedroom that day going, holy, holy, holy? I'm in? Like, I'm in that? You're in that. I'm in that. That's a game changer. God is being who God has always been. Check it out. Before we were ever created, before this earth was even brought into creation at all, God has been being who he is all that time, and now God is being who he's always been in and through me now. What a wild thought, right? Jesus has always been a certain way before we were ever even imagined or thought of. And Jesus is being who Jesus is in and through me now. I get in on that. That's glorious stuff. That's powerful stuff. So now you are sent into the world in the same way Jesus was sent into the world. You are being Jesus as you, right? And I talked about if Jesus had a twin, what if he had a twin and that twin was you? How amazing that would be. I think that would be amazing. So he husbands through me. He does the dishes through me. Maybe not enough, but he does. He grandfathers through me. He watches Netflix through me, right? He goes to sleep all night through me. He does everything I do through me. He's still doing it through me. What is that like, right? And now my daughter's got this job that he's doing through her, right? So now when the enemy comes along, it's kind of that experience like, this will kind of date me, but you remember the Wizard of Oz? You guys remember that? Where the dude's behind the curtain. How dare you enter my, you know, and then the curtain gets pulled back by the dog. It's one of those. Come on, Stan. Go get some drugs. Go get messed up. Let's go party. And here he is behind the curtain. How dare you? And I'm like, nah. Like, I don't have to do. Like, I'm bringing presents with me. I don't have to do that. I can do it, but I don't have to. I don't have to. There's a big, big difference. So when I realized God was moving through me, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, I'm brought into the family of God, that I have this going on, this is a game changer, that his life was now filling my life. This is a game changer. This is one of those times where I remember coming home and saying, okay, I'm spending all this money on drugs, guys. I'm spending all this stuff, all my time and energy on it. No more. This is different now because, look, God lives in me. He's living through me. So we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to do something else with our money. We're going to figure it out. But this isn't going to be the way we operate anymore. You know how, guys, I always blow my temper all the time and I'm knocking stuff over. Okay, that's not going to be my life anymore, guys, because God now lives in me. This is going to change. God's going to change me. And this is a game changer, guys. God lives in me now, through me. So I'm going to challenge this big temper thing that's destroying my life. And I'm telling my family, we're going to change. This is going to change. You know, we don't go to church. We don't normally go to church. But now I'm going to start bringing you guys to church. And we're going to pay attention. And things are going to change. Like, this is the kind of stuff, conversations we started having, right? Because of this. You know, we hear all the time people say, you know, I gave my life to the Lord, Stan. I gave my life to God. You know, and you see this picture of people giving their life to God, and that's true, and that's awesome. But the really crazy part is that he actually gave his life to me. That's the crazy part. That's the crazy part. Like, I'm operating in my living room a certain way, doing what I normally do, being my selfish self. And then God bombs and comes into my living room, into my home, through me, and starts messing my whole house up. Starts changing everything, right? It's like, I didn't go off and join the military. It's like the military joined me. You know what I'm saying? And that changes my whole house, see? If I just said, bye, everyone, I'm going to join the military, shut the door, my house wouldn't even change. Like, it'd probably get better. That's not what happened. The military joined my house within me and boom, blew up my whole life, my whole family. Like, everything had to change because of what happened within me. So this is a great picture here of the children of Israel when they've been rescued from Egypt. And here they are right smack in the middle of the desert. And here they are sitting ducks in the middle of the desert, but empowered by God. This is the Lord's camp. Boom! Check them out. Isn't that cool? They're in the middle of the desert. This is a brand new system of government. And these guys around here are afraid. Like their hearts are melting. And when you read in the book of Numbers, and you read in Joshua, basically the territory God gave them and said, I want you to go take it. Basically what you hear and what you see is he said, I'm giving you this territory, and he named them. It's territory to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south. This is what he gave them. He said, I'm giving you the territory, and I want you, by faith, to move forward, and I want you to take it. I want you to grow. Based on my word alone that I'm telling you can, and that I'm with you, I want you to do it. And so we have, in the Old Testament, types and shadows, like, that was physical Israel doing these physical things, fighting physical wars, taking physical territory, and we look at it as we are spiritual Israel, and we are fighting the same way, but spiritually, and that's how we see it. Everything meant something, right? Like the cloud by day, the fire by night, the temple, rocks, those things meant things, snake bites. Those things mean things to us as Christians in our lives, right? River crossings were big, big deals in the Old Testament, and they are big, big deals to us. Spiritual river crossings, huge, big deal. All right, what about the promised land? What is that to us? I see two camps of that. One, we're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to the promised land, no question about it. But the other promised land is a person who has conquered this territory and lives at peace with God in a broken, fallen world. But they don't have any major, major things going on. They basically have their whole territory ruled by God, and they live at peace. And that's a powerful place. That's a promised land that we're all after and we can have. All right, let me show you this. And just look at this diagram and hear this for yourself. Give the following instructions to the people. When you cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the people living there. You must destroy all the carved and molten images, demolish all their pagan shrines, take possession of the land, settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy. And then down here in verse 55, it says, if you fail to drive out the people who live in this land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they will harass you in the land where you live, and I will do to you what I had planned to do to them. That's some pretty heavy stuff, guys. So I ask you, what is this? What is this river crossing going to mean for you to go after a habit, an addiction, a relationship, whatever it is? What is it? And let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to cross the Jordan River and say, I am in? I'm going to go after it. Like, I'm going to take it on. I'm going to do it. Here's Joshua's charge. It says, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp, tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you. So in other words, he's saying, gear up. Let's do it. Crossing the Jordan meant I'm in. I'm committed. Like, when I go to the other side, I'm either going to die fighting for my freedom, or I'm going to get my freedom. But when I cross this river, when I cross this line, I'm in, and I'm going to take what God says is mine. Anybody in? How would you like to have the fruit of the land of your own life, where two people have to carry the clusters of grapes on their shoulders? Because the grapes and the fruit are so big, it takes more than one person to carry it. This is the stuff he wants to do with your life and with my life, if I'll take the land. See, one of the problems is, like, Glenn and I will sit with someone and they'll say, And I'll be all, let's cross the Jordan River. Let's commit to take this addiction down. Let's go for it. We'll come up with a plan. And then they're like, I'm in, and we'll cross the Jordan with them, right? And then we get to the other side. We set up camp. We crawl into our tent, and we go to sleep that night. And we assume they're also doing that. But what they're doing while we're sleeping, they're over there in the sticks making a boat so they can row back before we wake up, see? Or they're just straight doggy paddling back. I'm going back. And we wake up. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? We cross the Jordan. That's how it feels to us. All right. So next week we have Pastor Andy from First Presbyterian Church. He's going to be bringing a powerful message to us. And then the next week we have Bonnie's interview that I have been really, really excited about. We're going to hear something you very rarely hear is someone's walk out of such severe addiction and life-controlling problems in such a miraculous way. And she's done it very militantly. Like, very rarely do you see someone do what she's done the way she's done it. And if I can say this, Bonnie, without a single relapse. I mean, she crossed that Jordan and just kept right on marching on. Didn't even set up a tent and go to sleep. She just kept right on going. I mean, it's just straight bad to the bone. And we're going to be talking to her about how that happened and what in the world she's made of that made this happen, and what a miracle she is. It's true. So after that, I'm going to continue my trek through the Old Testament stuff and move on from here. And so I guess I want to say tonight that if you have some stuff, if you're sitting here tonight and you have a life-controlling addiction that's taking you down, or you have like powerful inhabitants in the land, fortified cities and strongholds that are bigger than you, I want to tell you right now, God says you can take it because he's with you. Like, you can take it. You can do it. You can defeat this thing. The walls will come down. You can do it. You know, come talk to me and Glenna. Come talk to many different people here. We'll partner with you. We'll walk through this with you. We're terribly excited about it. But I want you tonight to just make a commitment to cross that Jordan and say, I don't know what's on the other side, but I'm going to take this thing down. I'm declaring war. It's on. Like, I'm taking this inner territory. And tonight, I'm putting my foot down. I'm crossing the Jordan River tonight. And we'll be with you. So if you mean that tonight, and you want to take that challenge, and you really mean it, when Glenn and them come sing this song, it's called Step by Step, I want you to sing it out with all your heart to the Lord and declare, I'm crossing this Jordan River tonight on whatever it is God's talking to you about. Thank you, guys.
God, you are my God. And I will